This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Joe Giglio, Mike Tirico coming up this hour, and we're not done. More guests come up in the Power Hour as well. But Wes, as you pointed out, we have football on the brain, and we have our traditional Friday one stat, one game, one tidbit that we will give you that you, again, can impress your friends. An incredible breakdown of knowledge that you have, stuff that people would never dream of. Never dream of. And we're going to deliver that to you right now.
Like, did you know Virginia's only played two ball games?
You liked that one, didn't you?
In the month of December at home.
Never lost.
Sure.
Never lost. It's December in Charlottesville.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You might hear that. You might hear that at noon tomorrow when Roddy Jones and I talk about the rest of the schedule in the ACC.
Hey, when that score comes up tomorrow and you're rocking it with North Carolina and Western Carolina, and that score pops up,
sure,
that might be something worthy of, hey, did you know? Mm-hmm. Ask North Carolina. Ask
might offer that one up to you tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Syracuse at Notre Dame. We don't know how the Orange will go to the field tomorrow at quarterback. Maybe Mike Tirico will tell us bottom of the hour. Will it be Jacobian Morgan, Rex Culpepper, perhaps even Dylan Markowitz? But nobody has pressured the quarterback maybe better in the ACC than Notre Dame. 36% of the dropbacks. That's 10th best in FBS. And those two play tomorrow at 2:30 in South Bend. Syracuse need to get the ball out tomorrow, by the way. Get it out. Throw the ball.
They better get ready. I think Notre Dame's going to be just fine. By the way, if the Irish win this game, Wes, something will happen in South Bend that's never, ever happened before. Since dirt. You want to know what that is?
Another since dirt, huh? Another since dirt stat?
That's when you know we're going deep. When it's since dirt, you know this is one that's forever. If Notre Dame wins, again, right. If, the biggest word in sports is if. Keep telling you that. When you hear somebody say if, it's fantasy. However, a W tomorrow for Notre Dame will give them four consecutive years of 10 or more wins. The tradition, the history that is Notre Dame football, which is steeped in unbelievable accomplishments. They have never gone four consecutive years with 10 or more wins. A W tomorrow gives the Irish something that's never happened since dirt. Write it down. And I like their chances a lot.
Right now, I'm writing it down.
Go ahead. Since dirt. Put that in all caps. Since dirt. Back to back to back to back. And for people out there, and there are some because I hear it on the afternoon radio show, I'm not sure Brian Kelly's the right guy for the job. You guys are nuts. Guy's done a phenomenal job. He's done a not good job, phenomenal job. Yeah, but we haven't won a national title pack since 1988. You know what? They're hard to win. There's a lot of good teams out there. May win one this year, for all we know.
Yeah.
But you know what? They play people.
Previous administrations
they schedule
may
people,
not have made really good hires either.
And you know what? They catch everybody's best shot, whether they're good or bad. And for Notre Dame, a W tomorrow is four consecutive years of 10 or more wins. Impressive. He's done a great job.
All right. Let's roll to Clemson at Virginia Tech. The Hokies have 24 rushing touchdowns. Third best in FBS. Clemson has allowed 6 rushing scores this year. Fewest in the ACC. It's almost like a bonus stat, isn't it, since it's one for each school?
That would be correct. And I'm going to make it a trifecta. I told you earlier this week, we had an over and under with Trevor Lawrence passing yards. And I told you I was going under with whatever the number was for the first half. We are
283, I think, was the 243.
Whatever it was. It didn't matter to me. You know why?
248, sorry.
We are overdue for a Travis Etienne explosion. Now, he's done a great job this year catching the ball out of the backfield. Clemson's used him differently. But we've not seen Travis Etienne just absolutely go off running the ball. We really haven't. It's been kind of very quiet. And again, I know teams look at Clemson and go, okay, listen, is the quarterback going to throw for 500 or is the guy going to run for 200? We got to take one of those away. And they've tried to take Travis Etienne away and said, all right, we're going to force Lawrence to throw to the unknown wide receiver core for the most part. And that makes common sense. But we're kind of overdue for a Travis Etienne explosion, aren't we? I mean, it is December.
Right.
And the guy is a tremendous player.
Yeah. No question. Good one. I like that. Here's another one. Maybe we put this one in a little email text, send it to Dave O'Brien and Tim Hasselbeck for their game tomorrow night at the fabled horseshoe on the West Campus in Durham, Miami and Duke.
Wild sweet out
22 of Jake Bobo's 26 receptions this year for the Blue Devils have resulted in either a first down or a touchdown. Games tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on ACC Network.
All right, that's fine. I'm going to go a different route with you on this. I'm not going to give you one of my since dirts. In fact, I'm going to start using that, since dirt. You always like stats since dirt. Since dirt. Here it goes. This is not a since dirt, but it is one of those that will impress your buddies. Here are the Canes, right? We've been talking all week. Top 10, having a terrific year. Right. Manny Diaz, outstanding work from a year ago, getting these guys back on. Nobody talking about the Canes all year. Nobody. Here they are in the top 10. Everything's Notre Dame, Clemson. Notre Dame, Clemson. Here's Miami sitting there. Still could get to Charlotte. But the Canes are in the top 10. Did you know that the Miami Hurricanes, as a top 10 team, in December, because we are in December, the Canes as a top 10 team in December, as an ACC team, have never won a game.
Okay.
Never won a game. When you start taking roll, the answer is zero. Top 10 Canes in December as an ACC member, wins in football, zero. That can change tomorrow. Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. No famed horseshoe. Wallace Wade Outdoor. There you go, Wes.
All right. We move to Raleigh. Chris Cotter, Mark Herzlick, Eric Wood on the call tomorrow for Georgia Tech and NC State. The Wolfpack have trailed in the second half in five of their seven
you
wins
didn't like
this
that
year.
One, did you? You didn't like that one.
No, I like it.
I can tell you
it's
didn't
another
like
one
that.
Of those latest games in a regular season.
All right. You didn't like it. I got it.
NC State's trailed in five of seven wins in the second half this year. That's tied for the most in the FBS. All right, here's the bonus stat before Pat gives you a next level since dirt stat.
All right, go ahead. I got one.
First ever meeting between these two teams was 1918.
Yep.
The happy final, Georgia Tech 128. NC State can't have nice things. Zero.
You know, I'm getting a sense. I wasn't around, believe it or not, 1918, and you got that whole old book that you carry around with you, all those 1918 stats and black and white photos and teams that don't exist anymore. But, you know, there's been a lot of Georgia Tech stats from 1918 where they just flat out ran to score. You know, is Steve Spurrier 123 years old? Was that really his first coaching job at Georgia Tech and we didn't know about it? And he just decided to put 200 and some on Cumberland and 118 on the Wolfpack. And, you know, we're going to pitch and catch it and do all that stuff. Are we sure Spurrier? Was his great-grandfather a coach at Georgia Tech or something? I mean, Georgia Tech was just wearing people out 100 years ago.
Yes. They were.
Right?
Yes.
When you go back at Georgia Tech numbers,
no
it's
doubt.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, they took on the Abilene Marshmallow Company and beat them 145-3 back in 1906. I mean, they just killed people.
All right. First of all, 1918, remember that was the pandemic, the flu pandemic,
Spanish flu.
People wore masks at Grant Field just like they're doing this year.
Right.
Okay. They beat Clemson in 1918 28-0.
Oh, that's nothing.
October 5th.
Nothing. A big deal.
They beat Furman. Okay, now I want you to get a load of this. They beat Furman on the 12th, 118-0.
That's what I'm talking about. Steve Spurrier's grandfather.
On the 19th of October, They played the 11th Cavalry of Georgia.
Of course.
Beat them 123-0.
Well, that was the 11th Cavalry? Is that what you said?
The 11th.
Yeah. The 11th Cavalry wasn't very good. The 9th Cavalry from Virginia was awesome.
They ducked them.
In fact, I remember the coach at the 9th Cavalry of Virginia said, Georgia Tech's ducking us. They don't want to play us. That Spanish flu,
Georgia's
ain't got enough guys
11th.
To play it us. Was, they're ducking us. Remember that?
You got the wrong cavalry, wrong state. Whatever. You're talking about Virginia. It was the Georgia 11th Cavalry.
I'm making it all up.
Once. Georgia, not Virginia.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay.
Steve Spurrier's grandfather.
Camp Gordon. They beat Camp Gordon 28-0.
Yeah, Camp Gordon won bad.
They beat NC State 128-0. We just talked about that.
Boy.
They lost to Pittsburgh at Forbes Field.
See, Pitt.
32-0.
I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad Pitt beat them. You know what? Because Georgia Tech started getting cocky, started running the score up on people, and Pitt came out with new unis and said, "Nah, we don't think so. We don't think so. We're shutting you down for embarrassing all the cavalries down there in Virginia or Georgia, wherever you're talking about." It's crazy. Let me give you a stat. Let me give
Jackets,
you one.
Wait, hold on.
Go ahead.
Wait, while we're here, Jackets closed the season. They beat Auburn 41-0. You'll notice
what?
That Georgia opted out and elected not to play.
Does Sankey know about this? That game was scheduled? Huh? Mike's live. God rest
Drew
his soul.
Scratching his head.
Those SEC commissioners from 1908 or whatever year you're talking about know that game was played? Heaven forbid. I'll tell you what. And this has been a feel-good NC State show with Wes Moore's ladies taking care of business, beating number one. Wolfpack men's team won.
Yeah.
Let me give NC State football fans, since we just go trifecta with you here, Georgia Tech, Jeff Collins year two. Do you know what their record is against winning teams this year? NC State's a winning team. You want to take a guess?
O and foe. Okay.
So that's a good vibe if you're an NC State fan.
Last two games, real quick. Boston College at Virginia. Brennan Armstrong's tied for the FBS lead with 6 games totaling at least 180 yards passing and 40 yards rushing. Pack said earlier, his return has made a tremendous difference in the Cavalier offense. The carousel of quarterbacks has slowed down. Armstrong is principally the guy. And really shown you a lot. When he's been healthy, Virginia's been very good on the offensive side. Finally, we'll take you to Chapel Hill. Third meeting all time tomorrow between Western Carolina and North Carolina. Michael, I can't believe I'm going to read this stat. This is the announcer's jinx. Michael Carter has not fumbled in his last 235 touches.
Oh, you didn't. Wes Durham.
I read exactly what was prepared.
You don't have to read it. You don't listen, you're doing the game. You don't read that one. Come on.
They built the support pack. You gotta read it. We're team players here.
Let me tell you what. North Carolina's gonna win this game by 100. All right. So I am watching this game tomorrow just to make sure Michael Carter doesn't put it on the ground. I am watching that game. Yeah. Exclusively to make sure Carter doesn't put it on the ground.
Yeah.
I'll give you a stat.
Let me
give you one you can use.
No, we got to go to break.
No, since 2004, North Carolina, when they see these football championship subdivision teams, they own them. I mean, own them. They've seen them 17 times. Wes, they've beaten them all 17. And tomorrow we'll make 18.
There you go.
There it is.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Mike Tirico is coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. But the first big star comes from Raleigh, North Carolina, because the Wolf Pack is having some kind of week. The Pack is having a big week, and they hope it continues throughout the weekend. Joe Giglio joins us now. There he is. Look at trophies everywhere. He's awake, alert, ready to roll. Hey man, it's happening right now at NC State. What about last night, Joe? That was some kind of win for Wes Moore and his club going down to Columbia. South Carolina's got a great women's program, number one team in the country. You get the win, and man, ACC title last year. Life is good right now for Wes and the gang.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned the ACC championship last year. This game in some ways is more impressive because when you think about women's basketball, you think about South Carolina, UConn, Baylor, in years past, Notre Dame. And when you can pick off wins against those teams, it's a milestone for your program.
Joe, what does it do big picture for him? I mean, he's built something. We all know that. Last year proved it. But you go down there and win a game like that with a team that, you know, and in some cases – Elisa Kanane plays well, but, you know, you're not at full roster either.
Yeah, they're missing Jada Boyd, one of their starters. And, you know, Reyna Perez, a transfer from Cal State Fullerton. She comes in, grad student. She comes in, hits a big three to help them win that game. And he's really got it rolling now, too, because his recruiting has really improved, too. I think Wes Moore has always been a coach's coach, if you will. If you talk to any of his peers, they'll tell you. He's one of the best strategists there are in the ACC and in women's basketball as well. But now I think he's actually getting some better players to go with that.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, last year he was on here with us on Wednesday and talked about the senior leadership they had last year. This is a really young club. And, you know, I think it's great that these games were scheduled, much less, hey, let's go play and see if we can compete. Forget about winning. Now that you win it, you're like, hey, we're off to the races with a young team that's going to play with tons of confidence moving forward.
Yeah, women's basketball has always been light years ahead of college football in terms of the best teams always figure out a way to get together and play games. Mm-hmm. NC State's number 8 in the country. South Carolina obviously was number 1. But we see this often. The best teams always get together. I wish we could do more of that in college football.
Yeah, well, maybe we're going to find a path here after the pandemic, right? All right, you have seen a majority of Dave Doran's games in person as the head coach at NC State. Is this his best coaching job, Joe, in a season?
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. His two teams in 2017 and 2018 will have won more games, but he had more talent on those teams. He was also in a better position. This was a season he went into. If it's not a pandemic, he's coaching for his job. And for him to be able to win the games in the way they have won the games, I think even he acknowledged with you, Wes, in one of the best interviews I've seen. Kudos to you. One of the best interviews I've ever seen Dave Doran give was on the field after that wild Syracuse win, when he said to you, this team just keeps finding a way to win. And if you think about it this year, they get a late stop against Wake Forest in the opener, which they've never really had. They get a last second touchdown pass against Pittsburgh on the road. You have to go back to Torrey Holt in 98, the last time they did that on the road in an ACC game. They block a field goal against Liberty. I can't remember the last time they blocked a field goal to win a game. And now this week against Syracuse, it's the fourth down spike.
And had a chance against Miami. You could throw that one in there too, where, hey, you know, they played well until the fourth quarter and give the Canes all the credits, the reason why they're in the top 10. But, Joe, I think you're right. Given what happened last year with the injuries, and they just couldn't really put any kind of competitive team on the field late, regardless of who was coaching. But they had to have a bounce-back season. And say whatever you want about the schedule. The schedule is the schedule. You play who's on there. It's a pandemic. You lose your quarterback on top of it. For the NC State to be in a position with a win tomorrow, 7 conference wins, largest number ever in their history since Dirt, that's an accomplishment. And, you know, this ACC Coach of the Year vote is really going to be interesting as we get to the end of this season.
Yeah, I feel like I'm that guy, but I have to point out they've never played 10 ACC games before.
That's all right. You play who you play.
7-3 would be an accomplishment just to be 7-3. I don't think we need to throw in there that it's their most since Dirt pack.
But it is since Dirt. I mean, since Dirt, 6 has been the standard at NC State. That's been the number. You know, I'm just telling you, 100 years from now, they'll go, hey, you know, if NC State wins tomorrow, 100 years from now, they'll go, you know, that 2020 team at NC State, they were the first to win 7 ACC games. So, I mean, you know, you play who's on the schedule. That's what it is.
They were the only.
All right. You know, you're not going to get – you know what? This has been this has been a great week for NC State. Women are taking care of business. The men's team's undefeated. The football team's on the cusp of doing something they never did. And if you want to be Mr. Negative, you know what? You're lucky I don't get this spatula up there in Raleigh and straighten you out from robbing the Duke fan. NC State can have nice things. Unbelievable. It's okay. Come on, Joe. Still not going for
He says before they play Georgia Tech.
Oh.
They lost to last year. You got to let them pull it into the barn, Pat.
I mean, I know Georgia Tech has won their last five in Raleigh. Something's got to give, Joe. Georgia Tech's 0-4 against teams with winning records. Something's got to give tomorrow at Carter-Finley.
Yeah, this has been the most speaking of Torrey Holt year ever. So,
all right, here you go.
Speaking of Torrey Holt, the last time NC State beat Georgia Tech in Raleigh was Torrey Holt was playing in the game, Gilio.
Yeah, you probably called the game, Wes. The 2000. They lost to Changeli when they were 9-0. You're still going to have to explain that one to me.
Yep. Gordon Klinkscale's shining moment.
You know.
Only you would remember that name.
Joe is just, you know, do I need to put this NC State helmet on to conduct the rest of this interview to get you over the top? Joe,
you can.
No, we're not going to do that. All right. I want to go here. I want to go to Bailey Hockman because, Joe, there's something about the way the season started for him. Devin Leary takes over, then gets hurt against Duke. But when Hockman comes back, and the numbers bear this out, Roddy and I talked about it last week, Hockman's performance in his second tenure as the starter this year has been dynamically different than his first. Now, Tim Beck, and I'll say this till the end of the year, I think Tim Beck's done a marvelous job running the NC State offense, and it's a great hire by Dave Doran. But the light came on for Bailey Hockman along the way when Devin Leary was winning the Pitt game, coming back home, playing these other games. Something transpired, and Bailey Hockman's been very good. Now, he didn't play great in the first half last week, but he found a way to win the game.
Yeah, I think thing about Bailey Hockman is I think he actually watched Devin Leary against Pitt and Virginia take more chances down the field. And when he gets Emeka Amezi involved and Carrie Angeline involved down the field, then you could do some of the other stuff that he does where he can run the ball. He's a more mobile quarterback. And I love you always point out, Wes, every NC State game you have, you are the unofficial voice of NC State right now. You always point out his dad was a high school coach or still is a high school coach in Georgia. So listen, he's a smart kid. I give him credit. NC State has two great stories this year. Bailey Hockman's one of them. Tyler Baker Williams is the other. Tyler Baker Williams, as a freshman, was a running back who fumbled on his very first college carry, didn't touch the ball again the rest of that year. Every other player in that situation would have transferred. This kid stays, becomes one of their best defensive backs, and a key to their success in their defensive transformation this year.
Very quickly, Kevin Keats and the boys are 3-0, and they've really been impressive in all three. But you know what? UConn this weekend gives us a better litmus test. Can't wait for you to break this down.
You're going to make me do it. What?
I am.
Why you got to make me the bad guy?
They're 3-0, Joe. Tell me why.
UMass Lowell, Charleston Southern, North Florida. Does that cover it, or... No.
You know what?
All right, here's the optimistic point of view. Duke struggled with Coppin State, who's not a good MEAC team. NC State has looked good in their first three games. Yes, I am more interested in what they do against UConn and Michigan, but I'll tell you this about Kevin Keats and his fourth team. He really likes this group. And I don't mean that as a knock on the other three teams. I think you see, A, he's got players back that he recruited and that he likes. And you have a new group, Cam Hayes, Shaq Moore, the two freshmen you're showing the highlights right now. He really likes the way they can play. That feels like Louisville team when he was at Rick Pitino, when they had their really good guards who were interchangeable. So he has made that point to me before that he really likes those two freshman guards.
Before I let you go, assuming NC State's football team wins tomorrow, I hope they put that 7-win ACC race win in the background with you to add to your trophy collection. 7 ACC wins, first time ever since Dirt. I hope they put it right behind your shoulder with those other trophies. All right?
That's fair. That's fair. You got it.
By the way, are those bowling trophies behind you there? What kind of accomplishments did you have as a youth in Jersey that you got trophies for?
Well, some of these are mine. Some of the big one is my, you best not come to the G, West Durham, and think you're going to be winning a Parks and Rec title, because that's what those are back there. So, my sons.
There you go. All right. Nice. Love it. Mean streets of Garner, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Giglio.
We run quick. My out of bounds play from Roy Williams. I have it on a napkin. I'll show it to you sometime.
I love it. Thanks, Giglio. Appreciate it, my man.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. We'll get Mike Tirico up here at some point in time. Many thanks to Joe Giglio, who joined us. Roddy Jones, Mark Herzlich will join us in the Power Hour as we get you to a Friday. And hopefully, Wes, we get to games tomorrow. And I always say that because you just never know on Saturday morning when you see the text that, guess what, so-and-so got postponed or canceled. So, for the most part, we've had some stubbing of the toes this week in hoops. No surprise. But I hope we can get our games on Saturday, locked and loaded. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, we hold our breath every week, right, on a Friday or a Thursday. But so far, so good. I haven't heard anything from a rumbling standpoint, Pac, that we would be in danger of potentially losing the game. But then again, last 2 weeks have proven that all systems can be go through Friday night, right?
You got it. There have been times that you get out of bed Saturday morning getting ready to watch the huddle or game day or whatever it is that you get excited about before the games, and all of a sudden you got breaking news. This game has been postponed or canceled. So, I suspect right. That, again, until you see guys coming through the tunnel and kicking that thing off, you're going to have a game. But who knows? Knock on wood that we can get through this thing and get into December and get some of these games locked and loaded and played and get to a conference championship weekend for not only just the ACC, but really everybody around the country. I think we'd love to see it if we can get it. And even the news yesterday with the college football playoff semifinal with the Rose Bowl. No people. We're going to get in all these kind of topics as we get into December. But nevertheless, our next guest will be front and center, hopefully, for Syracuse and Notre Dame. We get this game in. But Mike Tirico joins us. Mike, first of all, how you doing? Life treating you all right?
Well, yeah, I am fine. I apologize. I was hoping, I guess there's a FaceTime issue on one of our two ends here. But I got up this morning for you guys. I shaved. I did my hair. I was ready to roll. I was ready to be in person with you two guys. And then I just need to know one thing before we go. Durham, what is the deal with your partner and his obsession with dirt? What is this dirt deal? I don't get it.
I will tell you, Mike. I just think we do this thing one stat per game. And it's always on even number days. There's always some crazy episode. Sure. And I'm like, forget that. Let's start going with stats. I'm going to start combing through and finding stats that something hasn't happened since dirt, which means it's never happened before. Okay. Like, for example, Notre Dame football. I'll give one for you. Notre Dame football, a win tomorrow. Something happens for the first time since dirt. Back to back to back to back. 10-win seasons.
10 wins.
That's never happened. So that's since dirt. So there you go. If you want to incorporate that tomorrow on NBC, I don't even want to shout out. You can just incorporate it. But since dirt.
No.
That's the deal.
Oh, no.
Okay. I'm going to leave that to Wes. I'll let Wes knock that one out.
All right. It's not big enough for NBC. No. I got it. I can read between the lines. No. You don't hurt my feelings.
It might cost me. You probably have a trademark knowing you, Packer.
No.
I'm sorry, Wes.
Not yet, but let me tell you something. As soon as you said since dirt, it would have been trademarked. you can count on that, big man. I'll give you the first T-shirt since dirt.
I love it.
Tirico is hitting all the buttons here.
That's right.
I love Tirico. He comes on this show and he hits all the buttons on you, Pac. That's what I like about it.
That's why he's a professional. That's why he's a true professional.
There's no question. America's trusted voice of sports. That's what I say. Okay, here we go. Mike, when I look at Ian Book, and we just talked about this whole winning thing, okay? And he's got a chance tomorrow to become Notre Dame's all-time leader in wins as a starting quarterback.
Since dirt.
I think that only tells part of the story. Yeah, he's had a great run. But what is it about him and the growth in the last year and a half? And, man, Tommy Rees is getting Tommy Rees needs to get a ton of credit for this year for sure.
He sure does. They're essentially the same generation. I think Tommy's knowledge of the position, go back to his dad. He's raised to be a coach. I really have enjoyed watching him thrive this year. But to your question about Ian West, you know, the guy came in as a fifth stringer. And he always seemed to do all the right things. Ball comes out on time. You go to practice 3 years ago, like, oh, you know, that number 12 over there, he throws the prettiest looking football. So he didn't come out with five stars. He didn't come out of the Elite 11 and all that stuff that would go with it, right? But he just has continued growth. Year in, year out, we've seen his escapability. I mean, the way he operates in the pocket is wonderful. I just had, this has been a weird week. I've been all over the place. Had Green Bay on Sunday. You just watch Aaron Rodgers with his comforter on the pocket. Now, stop. I'm not telling you that Aaron Rodgers is Ian Book, or Ian Book is Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying Ian gets back, and you watch his comforter on the pocket. He goes up, makes a right, makes a left, looks to run, keeps alive his ability to throw, uses the pump fake to throw it back off a defender, gets six more yards. Those are things that you don't see in 7-on-7, that you don't see. He just has a knack and a feel for the game. And I've just watched that grow and grow with his offensive line and the rest of the team and the comfort with the receivers. And it's been a pleasure to watch. Assuming that he has a good game here, I think he's going to end up on my Heisman ballot. I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman, right? I'm not saying that he should win the Heisman. But I think if with the Heisman, you vote 1, 2, 3, I think he belongs on the ballot with what he's done, where he's done, and how he's done it, and the teams he's done it against.
Mike, you have covered every gamut of sports known to man, and the one thing that's always cool about sports is confidence. And when you see what's an individual sport or a team sport, and you can see it, ironically, when it happens, right? When you can see an individual that is just so supremely confident or a team that's so supremely confident that no matter what comes their way, we got this. It seems that ever since the Notre Dame-Clemson game on November 7th, Book and this team, and even I think Brian Kelly, have supreme confidence that, you know what, we're senior laden, we got guys all over the place, we can run, we can throw, our defense is terrific. We could even lose a guy like Kyle Hamilton in the second quarter against a really explosive defense, an offense like North Carolina, and go, guess what? We're going to shut them out. We're going to shut them down. It is amazing to watch Notre Dame since that Clemson game. BC, no problem. North Carolina, no problem. They are supremely confident right now, doesn't it? I mean, they are totally different than what they look like in September and even late October.
Yeah, and I'm going to back you up a little bit, micro and then macro. Micro, I'm going to back you up, is post the Louisville game, where they were like, whoa, this is – they knew that in the back of their mind this Clemson showdown was lingering. All the stuff was lingering. It was the fits and starts to the season. Then that Pittsburgh game, that first half, late second quarter there, that's where that confidence kicked in. And to Brian Kelly's credit, he violated every rule in the book of coaching. He talked openly with his team about the Clemson game, and he put it out there. He brought the elephant into the room, addressed it, and they have followed that elephant all the way through their schedule. So I'll give you that. Confidence grew, and obviously you get to the Clemson game, and it expands from there. I have even seen levels of confidence grow in this team the last 2 or 3 years. This is my fifth year on the package for NBC. They were 4-8 in the first year there. I've watched them grow through these last 4 10-win seasons, and it's growth, it's confidence, it's Brian Kelly turning the play calling over, bringing an offensive coordinator in, Clark Lee, a sensational defensive coordinator, one of the finalists with Jeff Hafley at BC, and UCBC had two great guys to choose from. They have just grown as a program. Brian, even at this point in his Hall of Fame career, has grown. And where they've grown the most on the field is recruiting. They now play freshmen and sophomores who are really good and come in, and there's no drop-off, minimal at best. So throughout the program, that confidence has grown. But you're right, to see it at that Clemson game, that was the nadir of that growth that they've been going through the last 3 or 4 years.
A lot of people get caught up in looking ahead to the 19th and a potential rematch. And you and Tony did a wonderful job that night, despite a fourth quarter that took about 2 hours. sorry, just had to add that. Outside of the fact that you're going to – Why are we laughing? Only because it was an hour and 40 minutes, not two? Okay.
Exactly.
The idea that we get Clemson-Notre Dame again, what do you think a pivot point would be in a rematch of those two outside of the obvious return of Lawrence and Skalski and Tyler Davis?
Yeah, I think Skalski and Davis are just as big, too. I think defensively, Notre Dame's going to have more answers. Notre Dame moved the ball effectively at the start of the game, but did not convert in the red zone. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been overtime, and it wouldn't have been as close a game. But these guys coming back are not just guys. They are terrific players. And I think a Clemson defense whole will give Notre Dame a much bigger challenge. You know, DJ Uiagalelei played really well. Trevor Lawrence can obviously play better. He looked like a man on a mission. I thought they were going to score 100. They were ready to hang a half a 100 in that first half. I was like ducking for Pitt. I'm like, just get them to the locker room here at some point. That was a tough one because those guys were loaded for bear. DJ obviously played well. Trevor can play better. We know his ability. So they can still score points. But I don't think the offense is going to go hog wild and score 50, 55 points in the regulation against this Notre Dame defense. So I think it's going to be a similar type game where mistakes, turnovers, converting 7, not 3 in the red zone, I think it'll come back down to that. And, you know, I'm not even going to begin the what-if question of if Notre Dame loses a close game and what happens to Texas A&M and Florida and all that.
Right.
It's just the stupidity of this sport. I mean, I love college football with a passion. Love it. I'm so disgusted with this system. Why would the power?
Wow. We just got to the best part. We just got to the best part.
Did we lose Mike?
Yeah.
What happened there?
I don't know. We're going to get him back. It was like the perfect tease. It was like the end of the best novel you ever read. And somebody ripped out the last chapter. He's totally disgusted with God. It's like the Sopranos. What happened? What's the ending? We got to get Tirico back. He's got to tell us how this story ends. You can't leave us hanging.
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to break,
we're gonna
Wes, and then we're going to bring him back because he's got to tell us how that story ends.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right. We are efforting the conclusion.
It's ready.
Of the Mike Tirico story.
It's ready.
We ready to roll? All right, let's try it. Listen,
let's go.
All right. So we were just saying this was like the ultimate thriller that Tirico is going to give us this heavy take on the ills of college football. And then all of a sudden, it was the Sopranos episode. It just faded to black. You're like, you can't do that. You can't do that, Tirico.
I was thinking, well, I guess this is maybe one of the league honchos said, no, this is not going to appear on the air. So we're getting rid of you now.
Since dirt.
Since dirt. That's right. Wherever I was,
all right.
What I was simply saying was, look, we've got five Power Five conferences, okay? You've got to find a way that they get on the field, or else your regular season, your postseason, you were selling dirt to people. Get the champions to play. There's got to be some sort of cohesion and organization to the highest level of this sport in a better way. A playoff of 8 gives you the Power Five, a group of 6, and then the 2 at-large teams, and then we go from there. And I think we can figure – look, we figured out so much this year. And one point that I think we should take from this season, we don't need to be scheduling 9 years out in advance. It's really stupid. We can – look, BYU and Coastal Carolina, we're playing on Monday, and now here on Wednesday, Thursday, it's like, here we go. And it's great. We can do this and make some sense of the football. So we can make it so that 2 losses doesn't eliminate you from the playoffs if they're good losses, just like college basketball. It would make the product better. And that's what we need to do in an entertainment world going forward.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I think the other thing too, Mike, that's provided this, the pandemic has let the general public go behind the curtain of college athletics.
Yeah.
That's not a very uncomfortable situation for most fans because they did not realize the business of college athletics.
1,000%. And one thing you guys do, and this show is really good, and as an ACC alum and fan, I do listen to you guys a whole bunch in the mornings and enjoy listening. And one of the things you guys do is you bring on the coaches of the Olympic teams, the Olympic sports throughout the conference. Some terrific teams all the way through. And those sports are in peril. college athletics, the way things have gone this year and the budgeting, there are going to be issues here down the line. We've got to figure out a way to keep those opportunities going for the student athletes, female and male, for the athletic departments as a whole, and on a larger scale, and I'm wearing my Olympic ball cap right now, the Olympic movement. So many Olympians come through there. You know, the U.S. is the one country that doesn't fund its Olympic movement. Other countries around the world do. We love to revel in wrapping ourselves in the flag and enjoying the U.S. success at the Olympic Games. A lot of those Olympic athletes are collegiate athletes, too. And the opportunities and the goal of getting scholarships and getting to school, an opportunity for students. So there's a lot that we need to address here, I think, in the next 3 to 4 years. And all the balls are in the air, so it's the best time to address it right now.
I'm going to switch gears on you, and I'm going to allow you to take off the Olympic hat and put on a Syracuse alum hat, all right?
I have one over there. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. If you're in the mood, ahead. No, I'm just kidding with you. And this isn't. This really doesn't even pertain necessarily to tomorrow because Syracuse is going to be a humongous underdog. But big picture, Dino Babers is a great guy. Everybody loves dealing with him. This has been a tough year. Last year was a tough year. How does Syracuse get this thing back on track? And now I want you to speak as an alum, not necessarily a broadcaster here.
Sure. I thought I could filibuster long enough that you weren't going to ask me about Syracuse. We could just do Notre Dame, the ACC, college sports.
We're getting the pom-poms out. I got my Syracuse helmet right here behind me. So how does Syracuse get this thing going again?
Where are those technical difficulties when you get below? No, seriously. It's a great question, man. And Wes, you know, Wes and Matt Park are the voice of the Orange. Wes has been up there as much as anybody the last few years, and he's seen it. The talent's better. Look at all the freshmen they're playing. They're playing half dozen freshmen starting on defense. Nobody's doing that in FBS football. And you can see that there's talent in the program. 2 years ago, you saw the season that Eric Dungy had. Syracuse needs to be a better offensive team. It's plain and simple. You can't score the numbers they're scoring and be under 300 yards offensively and do that. And in the dome, in recruiting, you can attract guys by saying, hey, come here. You're going to play in good weather 9 games a year. You're going to be able to throw the ball around, run the ball. Special teams have been good. Syracuse is the only school at Texas A&M that's had 2 punters drafted in the last 15 years. So you got to use the advantages of that dome that you have, that very special place where you play basketball and football for the last 40 years. Now it's refurbished, looks as great as ever. You've got to use that as an advantage. And they've gotten a little more national in recruiting because, let's face it, in the Northeast, football is not what it once was. So you've got to find the right spots. Get the kids in the Northeast. That's more of a challenge now with Rutgers and Greg Schiano getting going in the right direction, Halfley at BC. It's a tough time. There's no doubt about it. But we've seen it in spurts. We've seen it in stretches. We saw it when Doug Marrone was there before. We've seen it with Dino for 1 year. And we see it now in the quality it's in the program with a lot of opt-outs and losing 2 DBs who are NFL-bound at some point here as they got hurt during the year. You can get the guys there. But I do think it has to be something where you're scoring 25, 30 points a game, matching that with an aggressive defense that plays fast in a stadium that gets loud. That's the equation. I think Dino's the guy who can do it. He's shown he can do it. But as we know in football, you got to continue to do that. This was more of a backstep. I think this year is more of a reasons, not excuses. Next year, there won't be excuses. It's going to be one of those have to get it done to go forward.
Yeah. We wish you all the best. Thanks, as always, for your time. You're kind to spend moments with us in a busy week. I mean, let's see. Today's South Bend. Wednesday was Baltimore. Last Sunday was a game. It's that time of year. It's the crossover, right?
You know that drill. It's that time of year. It's, you know, the Wednesday NFL game right in the middle of it, of course. I'm sitting here going, why do I feel like I'm behind with Notre Dame, Syracuse? Notre Dame I see all the time. Syracuse, I've seen every game they've played the last 30 years. How can I be behind? Like, oh, wait, I just did a game 2 days ago. But it's all good. We'll figure it out. And we look forward to it. Hey, look, as an alum, it's a thrill to be able to call undefeated Notre Dame playing a school that you went to in the house that Rockne built where they've been playing football for 91 years or before they invented dirt. So it's a great
close
weekend for
me. No, that's not. No, well, Tirico, that's not a since dirt. When you can give me a stat with a starting point, that's where it changes. Since dirt. Got to get that right.
There's the orange highlighter, by the way. There's the orange highlighter.
Dirt. That's it. You're all over it. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Hey.
Great seeing you guys.
By the way, points tomorrow. points tomorrow if you get the phrase "since dirt" on the broadcast.
I love a challenge. Love a challenge.
We're watching.
Happy holidays. All the best. Stay safe, guys.
Hey.
Be good.
Be well. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Mike Tirico, one of the best. That's awesome. Just great stuff.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.